Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of Table Manners, which is a collection of some of our favourite bits from the past year. We've had some amazing guests this year. Despite the different lockdowns and restrictions, we've kept going for you and had some amazing guests, either at Mum's House for Food or via Zoom. We always prefer Mum's House for Food, particularly me, because I get fed very, very well, three times a week sometimes. Kicking us off is, of course, the wonderful Dolly Parton, who joined us last autumn. I was in the studio recording my record. My mum was on Zoom and Dolly had a Christmas tree behind her and it definitely was October. We were absolutely made up to have Dolly on the podcast and I definitely was slightly starstruck. As you can see, I don't really say much and I'm quite scared. I didn't need to be because she's the most charming woman in the world. Dolly grew up in a huge family. She's one of 12. So I asked her whether her mum was a good cook.
Oh, of course she had to cook for that big house full of youngins. So mama, everything mama cooked, you know, you'd think there wouldn't be a thing to eat in the house. And mama would just start cooking. And before you know it, there was always something that always was always good.
There's a lot of you. You've got a lot of brothers and sisters. Was there 12 of you?
Yeah, there's 12 of us in all. There's six girls and six boys. I have a sister and two brothers older, and they were 8 kids younger. But we had a lot of mouths to feed. My sister and I had to learn to cook early. So we cook a lot like mama and my aunts and my grandmas. Mama was always having a baby, so when mama was out with a baby, my sister Willity and I had to do the cooking, you know, in those early days. So we know how to do it.
You're one of the oldest in the family.
Yes, I have a sister and two brothers older than me.
And so you had to take a lot of responsibility for the little ones.
Well, yeah, that was just the rule of the house. Every time mama had a baby, we all had to help take care of it. So I think that's why she kept having kids, just so she'd have somebody help babysit. But we did it. You know, it was just a natural way of life. We were always excited when we heard mama was having a new baby, which was all the time. I always make a joke that mama had one on her. On her hip or one in her at all times.
Honor ready to have one.
Yeah. So, but we loved them all and that mom and daddy loved us all. So that was just the way it is. Just horny hillbillies up there in the mountains.
Did you used to forage in the mountains? Like, would you go and pick in the mountains and go and find things to eat in the mountains?
Well, when you grow up in the mountains like we did, we lived on a farm. So we grew, a lot of our own vegetables and we raised our own our own pigs. And we did all that in those days. So mama just knew how to put anything together. But we also did a lot of wild foods like rabbit hunting and squirrels and all the things. A lot of people, oh, you eat squirrel, you eat rabbit. Some of the best eating in the world if you know how to fix it. And when you live in the mountains, you learn to eat and fix everything that's edible. And even the greens, that grow in the fields, the wild stuff that makes a really tasty thing, like whether it's like watercress or whether it's something we call poke salad. It's like the poke bush, P-O-L-K, I guess we call it poke salad. But anyway, it's a wild green that grows. So there's a lot of wonderful things that you can cook from the mountains and that grow, that run wild in the woods and the stuff you grow domestic, on your farm, around your barn, in your barnyard.
I wanted to know, watching that documentary and Jane Fonda talking about how you all got to know each other on 9 to 5 when you were kind of you were making this film together. And you do these sleepovers, she said. And you do these sleepovers and you talk and you'd get to know each other. And I wanted to know, what were you ordering on room service? I need to know these things.
Well, I would imagine whatever was good. I guess we ordered a lot of, I guess, club sandwiches and soups, that sort of thing. But if you know, I stayed at a really nice hotel there, the Balazs Hotel, when I was living there. And they had the best things on the menu, whether it be like I love liver and onions, but that seems to be a delicacy too in the city. And so I would order that kind of stuff. Anything that I could order that was close to country. They had also like great steaks and great fish. And Jane, you know, she used to eat a little better than I did because she was working out at the time. So I'm sure she and Lily were eating better and more like a baked fish and baked chicken. I was getting chicken with gravy or whatever I could get that, you know, had something on it that was a little more tasty to me. But anyhow, we would just order whatever we felt like when we would chat and talk. And pizza is always great, you know, to order.
Always.
We'd probably order that in.
Dolly, you have one of the best quotes about food. I mean, it's an iconic quote. It was like my true love's... You say it, because you're going to say it better than me.
I guess somebody said my weaknesses have always been men, sex, and food, and not necessarily in that order. on that order.
You've got one of the longest marriages in history.
I do. My husband and I have been together for 57 years, been married 54.
Congratulations.
And I'm sick of him, and I'm sure he's sick of me.
Oh, no, he's not.
I can't believe anybody could get sick of Dolly Parton. She's an absolute queen and very, very funny. Next up is the also rather funny Michael McIntyre. He came over for one of our most raucous dinners last September and arrived with a temperature gun and proceeded to check all our temperatures before entering the establishment. Here's Michael explaining why he loves Jewish people.
Well, I live in North London, which is in a very Jewish area.
Yeah.
In Hampstead.
Yeah.
And I'm moving. I've bought a house in an even more Jewish area.
You're going to Golders Green?
You're going to the suburb?
I'm going to the suburb.
Mazel tov!
I've made it!
Michael, you've got kosher kingdom near. You've got greenspans. Your chopped liver and your salt
brief. I've got a new community.
You've got a whole community.
I've got a mezuzah. You see,
mezuzahs on the door.
Well, I didn't know what a mezuzah was.
I've got one on my door.
Until I bought my house from a Jewish man.
Yeah.
And I thought it was... Because for listeners unfamiliar with a mezuzah, would you explain what a mezuzah is?
It's got a parchment. It's got the scroll inside with a little blessing.
It's like to protect the house.
It's luck.
And it's put on a wonk, which always makes you think... Did they mean to do it like that?
No, it's got to go in a certain direction.
I don't know.
And if you do it in the wrong direction,
it's a direction thing. Yeah. It looks like it's been put on wrong.
Yeah, no, it's got to go like that.
Right, so I thought it was just a feature on the door. I had no idea that it was a mezuzah. And the man who sold me the house showed up at the door a week later. And he said, I've come to get my mezuzah. But of course, I thought he was either drunk or having a stroke because I thought he was trying to say a recognised word that obviously began with N. But his face was just falling apart.
Poor thing.
I was like, what is it, Eric? And he said, I need to collect my mezuzah. And I was like, oh, my God, something terrible is happening to this man. And then he started pulling at this thing on the door and I thought he'd gone mad.
He took them away.
Well, I didn't
know what he was talking about. That's not very
generous. I'd never heard of the mezuzah. But anyway, incredibly excited to move in my new community. And this is good.
Fantastic. It's Jewish New Year next week.
You've got to WhatsApp me all the information so that I can keep up.
You know what, actually, Michael, so I'm actually, I'm a bad Jew, but I'm becoming a better Jew. I'm having a bat mitzvah because I have a family of my own. Yes. And my husband is a goy. We had a Jew-ish wedding, but I've decided to have a bat mitzvah to basically pass down all these things to my children.
For your daughter?
For my daughter and my son. To be able to do Hanukkah, God forbid, when mum pops
it. Well, I did a Passover.
For God's sake, my temperature's only gone up a degree. God forbid when mum goes.
Let's see the latest.
Just see if I'm going.
No, you're still fine. You've slipped up a little bit. We'll keep an eye.
Well, we'll get you a mezuzah, but I feel like that's going to be like, I don't know, would a Jew give a mezuzah to like a neighbour? Is it like bringing in a baked bread or?
No, darling. Okay. But it's lucky. And I think it's bad form.
Can
that
I
he
sneak
took
a CCTV camera in it? Just to, is the com- yeah, is it, you can could, it be dual
that
purpose?
That could be dual purpose.
I mean,
purpose.
Look. There's protecting a home and there's protecting a home. I mean, I feel like maybe if there's some kind of that alarm thing, you can get an app. Maybe we should go into business and develop mezuzahs that are also sort of cameras.
Yeah, that's
that you
good.
Could, you know, you can talk to the people.
Maybe and, also with a thermometer yeah. for the COVID as well.
Oh, all, please, this will be over soon.
This will be...
All built into the
yeah,
mezuzah.
Yeah, all in the mezuzah.
This is amazing.
This is going to be a mystical,
we'll
magical...
We'll go door to door.
Dragon's Den. Sorry, hi.
In the suburb, me and Lenny will hook up. We'll go door to door in the suburb.
Selling...
We're selling mezuzah...
Tri-purpose.
Tri-purpose mezuzahs. They're typical temperature. They're good for CCTV.
What's not to like?
Another one of my favourite Jewish stories. There's a gentleman, and he'll like that I'm telling this story because he knows that I was started to do it on stage a bit. And I think, oh, goodness, is it Anthony? I nearly forgot his name. Anthony. And he is local. And he, like me, I mean, I don't want to make stereotypical assumptions of Jewish people, but there is a certain neurosis that certainly Jackie Mason would have played
upon. Says the guy who brings in the thermometer, but cool.
And that's what I'm saying. I share the neurosis.
He does.
So myself and Anthony would go and watch our sons play football on the weekend in the park, an organised football thing, and all the other parents would leave, but me and Anthony would stay and would have camping chairs because we were so worried what would happen to our, you know, what would you, a bubblers, what would happen to our bed? You can't leave. We would just sit and discuss. Well, who could leave their children here? It's crazy.
Are you a competitive football dad?
No, not competitive, just worried. No, I discourage any kind of, you know, aggression on the pitch in case he would get injured. I was
worried about him.
I'm worried about him. And he was worried about his son. So my son gets kicked in a game and I lose it and I run on. And what I shouldn't have done, because he's, you know, he's getting a bit older. And I'm over him and I'm going, you poor daddy's here, daddy's here. And he's looking at me like he hates me. All his friends are going, oh, my God, your dad's so embarrassing. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to kiss it better and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, he said to me afterwards, don't you ever do that again. Don't even come to the games. You're an embarrassment. You're the most embarrassing dad in the world. It was tough. Anyway, it turns out that Anthony, a little bit more embarrassing than I, the same thing happened to his kid, Daniel. He gets kicked. Anthony unzips his coat. Inside it, he's got all these medical supplies.
Oh, how funny.
And he's also got a spray. You know this, I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, when the proper footballers, they spray it to take the pain away.
Yes, they freeze the injury. So he starts running on the pitch. Spray, but he's so keen to spray his child that he starts spraying it while he's running. So he's running and spraying, shouting, Daniel! Daniel! And it's spraying all the time. And as he's running away, you can hear his voice changing. And he's going, Daniel! Daniel!
Because he's breathing in it,
frozen his face. He froze his own face. So he ends up in the middle of the pitch with a frozen face, basically going, Daniel! Daniel! It started to sound a bit like anal. So he's standing in the middle of the pitch, shouting, anal, 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 anal. And I pointed out, you know, in hindsight, that maybe he was a slightly more embarrassing father than I am. Anthony, yeah, shouting anal in the middle of the pitch.
Is Anthony allowed to go to the games? Does Daniel mind?
I know, I don't think they mind. No, because they're all, you know, they're very protective.
He's been brought up in a Jewish family.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with Michael McIntyre. He was brilliant. I chortled, like hyena laughed. I did all of it. And you can imagine how chuffed Mum was when Michael told her she had good comedic timing. Mum now thinks that she's going to be at Edinburgh Fringe on her own. She doesn't need me anymore. She'll have her own stand-up next year. Watch out. Now on to another funny man, Youngblood, who Mum didn't know who the hell he was, even though the whole world does, who came for an afternoon tea last autumn. Here he is, starting to tell us what his last supper would be, until he got a little sidetracked.
For starter, I love Spanish food. Whoa. And I have prawn pilpil. You ever had that? Mad.
Yeah, pilpil.
But the shittest one you can get, like on a beach bar, like on like Granny's in the kitchen, and it looks like you're going to get salmonella, but you're not. You know what I mean? And you're just like...
Nice bread to dip in.
Yeah, proper nice bread to dip in. And just like, just a pint of lager. Do you know what I mean? So, oh man, I need to tell you my story in a minute. I'll finish this. This is the funniest fucking story ever.
Tell us now.
Right, fuck it. I'll do my last supper in a minute. Right. So, my tour manager, right, Jess, she's an incredible Australian woman, like with the biggest like heart, but I don't know how she puts up with us. Like, we are little shits, absolute little shits on tour. So,
Jess, bless you.
Bless her. Shout out, Jess. She, you know what I mean? She's like probably listening to this embarrassed as hell because she hates any attention. She's like, don't take photos of me, ever. We were in Denmark and had a couple of days off, and you know Noma. It's like the best restaurant in the world, right?
Did you get a place there? I mean, it's a huge waiting list.
Listen, so I was like, it's her birthday. She really wants to go to this nice restaurant called Noma in Copenhagen, Denmark. It's the best restaurant in the world.
Chef's table, whatever, it's phenomenal.
All that shit. So I was like, all right, cool. So I get a table, right? And I'm northern as fuck, right? And it's going to be 700 quid a head. And I'm going to take four of us. And I'm going to pay for it for a birthday. I'm like, fucking okay, well, all right. You know what I mean? Like, fucking 20, you know what I mean? Whatever, 2,800 quid for a table. I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm going to go. I'm going to have the best steak in my life. And it's going to be great. I'm going to sit. So I'm saying to you, listen, this is why the story's really funny. So I get there and I'm like, cool, I'm going to have a fucking great steak. I've been on tour for so long. I'm going to have steak and chips and they're going to give me whatever I fucking want and lychee martinis on tap till the fucking end of time. It's going to be wicked. But as I say, so we pull up, right? We get into the site. I'm like, all right, cool. There's like, I'm thought of going to a restaurant. It's like six greenhouses, but all right. Have you seen that film, Midsummer?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm walking up and it's
they
like...
They're all quite smiley.
Everyone's like very fucking Viking and very like, hello, sir. Welcome to Noma, where your pleasures will be. I don't know. And I'm like, all right, nice. Like, I'm dry in Northern. So I'm like, all right, nice to meet you. Fucking great. So walk into Noma and I'm just like, cool, this is a bit fucking weird, innit? And everyone's like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm like, same, man. I can't wait to have
steak.
This steak and chips and it's going to be fucking great. And it's like, would you like this drink of the river to cleanse your palate? I'm like, I'll have a taste of that. It's pretty fucking weird too. Like, and you kind of stop staring at me for 2 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm like, stop looking at me. I want to like chill. So they take us to our table, and in Noma, it's like you have your own little living room, and there's a fire. And I'm like, okay, cool, all right, sick. We're gonna sit down, and it's gonna be great. So the waitress comes, just like again. Welcome to Noma. And it's like some fucking, like, I've gone to live with Hare Krishnas in Thailand or something. You know what I mean? And I'm like, fucking great. And it's like, okay, can I have a pint of lager and a steak and chips, please? And she's like, they bring the drinks out. And she starts pouring me this drink. And I'm like, sorry, can I have a pint of lager? She's like, we don't do lager, sir. I'm like, okay, right. Do you have any like beer or anything? She's like, no, sir. I'm like,
you're
all right.
Denmark.
Yeah, I mean, but that's fine. I'm just like,
no, they should have beer, right?
Have a beer, and I'm like, do you have like anything? Like, do you have glass of prosecco? No, sir. Do you have a gin and tonic? No, sir. I'm like, what do you have? And she's like, well, we have the fruits of the forest, like shit. And she's pouring me, and I'm drinking this raspberry elderflower and
was
fucking foxtail fucking drink.
Was it alcohol?
Yeah, it was alcoholic, right? And I'm drinking it and I'm like, okay, cool.
But it's not what you wanted.
No, it's not. It's what I'm saying to you. It's like, it's not what I wanted. So it's like, all right, cool. And I'm like, where's the menus? And Jess is laughing at me because she's just brought fucking Devo meets Liam Gallagher into a fucking Scandinavian seance. You know what I mean? And everyone's like bringing in the light and blessing the forest. And it's game season, right? It's game season. And everyone's laughing at me. And Tom, my photographer, is quite a foodie and a bit pretentious. I love him. He's a pretentious cunt. Then there's Ed, who works at my label, who was somehow out in Denmark. I don't know why. And then Jess next to me.
He wanted to go to Noma.
I know.
Knew you were paying.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, we're in Noma and we're eating. And it's like, the first dish comes out. And I'm like just turning hysterical, like, where's the fucking menus? Like, where's the menus? I'm anxious because everyone's like, there's a person in the corner of the room looking straight forward. Like, not even like vibing, just like holding a bottle of water and looking straight forward. I'm like, it literally looks like a prosthetic doll, like standing there.
It's a bit Midsummer. Yes.
I'm very Midsummer. It's like, when am I going to get my bollocks cut off? You know what I mean? In front of me. And I'm sat there and the food comes out and the first thing comes out and it's like an acorn on a plate, right? And it's like, I'm looking at this acorn. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, everyone's like, weird. It must be just like some hippie shit before they bring out like the menu.
Your dinner.
Me dinner, yeah. Me big, nice steak. Do you know what I mean? Me big, nice
with
dinner
chips.
That I'm paying 700 quid for. and they do the acorn. I'm like, okay, right, I'll nibble on this acorn, and everyone's just laughing.
Was the acorn in anything?
No, it's just a fucking acorn. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's an acorn.
You could eat acorn.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you can eat.
Like, you can, and it's like glazed in fucking.
Oh,
like,
it was kind
like
of
molasses made from like Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? And every like Jess is like wanted to come to Noma, but she's regretting it already.
Because you're
because no, she's not regretting it because of me, because now I find out that she is unadventurous with food. So I'm like, okay, fine, all right, fucking hell, you don't want to eat your acorn. That's a 70 quid acorn that you just just turned away. Like, I've turned mine away. And I'm sat down, it's like, cool. Is there any menus coming out? It's like, the chef has decided what you're eating tonight, sir. And I'm like, as I say, like, I don't like being told what to do.
How intimidating.
It's very intimidating. Like,
I love that. But when they go, we've created.
I'm definitely with them.
And I'm just like, all right, cool. Is there going to be any, like, meat and shit? Like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, we use every part of our animals. And I get it, because it's, like, good, and it's good, and sorry to any of the vegan fans out there. Do you know what I mean? But this was just Noma. And then they bring out duck's brain.
No, they didn't.
In front of me. Like, no, duck like gland from the brain. Yeah. And I'm like looking at the waitress, like, I'm like helpless. Like, I'm like, imagine me walking through the desert for 7 days without water, and I see you and I'm like, do you have any water? I'm like, do you have any fucking thing normal? For me, do you have anything possibly normal? And then the main event comes out, and it's like our good old friend Donald Duck, but this time it's the face of the duck, like the face, right? Like, and I'm sat there, and Donald Duck is looking at me in the face, going, "Don't eat me, don't eat me," because my child
and
is
you've
across.
You've been on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you, right? So I'm looking at fucking Donald Duck right now, and. Then I'm like, okay, why is there ducks? Like, I'm not going to eat a beak. It's not even cooked. And then one of the Midsummer characters walks around the corner and lifts up the duck's head.
Oh my God, this is like Indiana Temple of Doom.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Temple of fucking Doom shit,
yes!
Right? And people pay 700 quid each for this, right?
I would not do
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Mom,
so it's like lifted off, off, and it's like inside the head is duck's heart tartare. Right? And Jess is laughing now because she's not eating anything either. She's like not eating.
I would actually vomit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Tom, my pretentious photographer,
is
fucking eating everyone's fucking food. And I'm like, I hope you're. I like you're not getting a fucking birthday present this year.
And it was small portions.
That's four
small
birthday
portions.
Presents.
Small portions, right? And then like after that, we have a palate cleanser, and it's peppermint ice cream. And I was like, fuck yeah! All right, I'm into this. Best peppermint ice cream in my life. And in theory, I paid $2,500 for peppermint ice cream. And then went for a Chinese afterwards. I had cut someone call. I was like, it's 11 p.m. I need you to find me a Chinese takeaway. And I'm pretty placid, but I was pissed off. You know what I mean? I
hate pretension.
It was, yeah, you know what I mean? And it was fine.
Jesse.
I'm so desperate to go. But, this is the best entertainment.
Do you know what? Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way, right? Like, with it, yeah, great. If you're into that shit. But I'm from Donny, man. You know what I mean? I just wanted a pint of lager
Donny.
And some steaks. Like, if I go to a nice restaurant, do you know what I mean? If you go to Chilton Firehouse on a Friday night, I'm like, I'll have the cheapest lager you got. Do you know what I mean? That's just who I am. And I love good food, and I love it, but...
Yeah,
I just like good... you know what I mean?
I don't like all the bells and whistles.
Do you want to get your cake?
I'm really worried about the cake.
I'm into the cake.
Okay, so just so I explain to you, Dom, I don't have a kitchen at the moment, so I have this really mini oven that it can roast a chicken and it can bake a cake, but the timings are a bit off, so fuck knows if it's worked. But, I mean, it's sweet. And
but, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't mind. And it's all right, because if this cake's shy, on the next podcast of someone else I do, I'll be telling the Noma story of you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I can't actually believe that Youngblood shat on Noma so much. An unbelievable waste, him going to Noma. I'm dying to go there. And to be honest, he hasn't put me off, even though it sounds like a kind of pagan ceremony. From one charismatic northerner to another, here is my first love, Robbie Williams, who we spoke to via Zoom at the end of the last year, which actually probably was the best for him because otherwise I may have cried in front of him or pounced him. I don't know. He reveals something that he'd never spoken about in public before.
What's your favourite sort of food?
Well, my go-to, it's always like takeaway food, right? Are you the same with food?
I mean, I'll eat.
Cook a lot. So yeah, if we weren't in lockdown, I definitely would have forced you to come to my house and eat chicken soup and matzo balls.
I would absolutely love that. That's a date, by the way. We'll do that.
Definitely, darling. Well, I'll definitely make it for you.
I eat incredibly healthily and I'm a big believer in fitness and well-being. But my go-to, if I was going to splash the calories out, would be sweet and sour chicken with special fried rice. And then I would have lamb balti.
Right.
Love lamb balti.
Lamb balti done properly. Because here's what you guys don't know, right? You guys don't know that you don't have a decent curry house down south.
Well, you certainly don't have one in Los Angeles, do you, Rob? Shite.
No, actually. No, they are shite. They are shite in Los
Dreadful.
Angeles.
Dreadful.
But a northern curry... it's probably the best curry on the planet. And that would be, lamb balti. And then these nams the size of, I don't know.
Your head, yeah.
Shallows. Yeah, just huge nam breads. Like, this is way too much, but I'll take some home and then we'll eat it during the week. So, yeah, those two things, lamb balti and sweet and sour chicken.
Being in a boy band at such a young age, I'm sure you were eating shit because we've had a few of the Spice Girls on and they were like, we literally just eating packets of crisps and pot noodles. But I just wanted to know, is there any really memorable food moment? Take that or beyond being, you know, an international superstar, pop star individual. But are there, because you were doing this like when there was loads of money in the industry, yeah. When they probably spent lots, took you out, wined and dined you. That shit doesn't happen anymore, Robbie.
Oh yeah, when we were kings.
Yeah,
when we were kings. I was the last of my kind from when we were kings. Anyway, early days of Take That, we used to do this thing called King Nan, and basically you would get points. So if you had a fall, you would get 6 points. If you had a vindaloo, you would get 5 points. If you have madras, you get 4 points. And then it went all the way down to a korma. But you had to finish your dish, right? And then as the couple months went on, who had the most points then became King Nan. And what we did was we got a nan bread and then we put stuff around it and a chain around it. And you wore it at dinner time, and you were King Nam, and whatever you wanted, everybody had to do.
God,
are you actually taking the piss?
No, I'm not taking the piss.
And is that when you realised that you had to leave the band?
I haven't spoken about King Nam at all in public. That's the first time, right? And as the words were leaving my lips, I was like, this is mental what I'm saying.
Mental.
But it's true.
So what would you command them to do?
I never was King Nam because I couldn't stomach a fall.
He couldn't take his heat.
Who was King Nam?
It was always Jason or Howard. And basically what they would do is like they would have a fall, which is hotter than a vindaloo. And then if the points were close, they'd order another fall. and eat that dish too.
How did they all look so ripped and fantastic when they were just eating curry after curry?
Babe, honestly, we were dancing. We were dancing for 7 hours a day.
That's the key, Jess.
Oh my God, that is hysterical.
Yeah.
So then you'd wear this non-gold chain naan bread around your...
Yeah, and what'd you do to, like, stuff to make it not crumble? You varnish it. Yeah, we'd varnish a naan.
No,
you Yeah, we did.
This is so weird.
Did you frame any of these naan breads?
No, they were never framed. But like, you had to call the person King Naan as well when you talked to them.
Who thought of this game?
We all came up with it combined, you know, but it's a bit like Lord of the Flies, isn't it?
You heard it here first, Table Manners listeners. King Naan, take that exclusive. It's amazing what you find out about people when you quiz them about food. Fans of the podcast will know that I loved Robbie Williams when I was growing up, and I cried when I went to see Take That in concert. Well, the other person that I adored was Kylie Minogue, who was my first ever concert when I was 6 years old. So you can imagine how excited we were when she came over to Mum's for dinner last autumn. God, we had a really like jam-packed, like stellar selection of people in autumn last year. Here's me confessing to her quite how much of a fan I was.
So I also had, just to add to my fanatic Kylie phase, we had the VHS of you that was Kylie.
Was it like Kylie on the go or something?
It was
like
Kylie
that.
And you were playing the piano.
I did learn the piano when I was younger.
Yeah, and you had the most amazing like Mozart-esque sleeved... do you remember it? It was a blouse. It was white. And it was very...
Christ,
and you were there at the piano. You were like, oh, hey, you didn't catch... Oh, sorry, I'm just playing something.
Yeah.
And we'd watch it in this room, and the TV used to be here, and we'd watch it, and you'd be playing the piano, and it was like with a lot of sleeve, and I've always dreamed about this blouse.
That was probably like my Prince fantasy.
That would make sense. It was like very, yes.
I think I remember, I might have had, oh, this is really challenging me now, maybe a little waistcoat. Like vest with some embroidery.
Yep.
And probably massive earrings.
And you had curly hair, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and we, Hannah got like an embroidered waistcoat for us. Yeah.
Jessie thinks that the Neighbours theme tune was her white noise because when they were born, I'd listened to it. I'd watched it when I was pregnant. And then when they were born, we always had Neighbours on.
Was that like, were Des and Daphne?
Yeah.
I had
the Daphne hair. The half up, half down, and then the ponytail. She used to do that.
And she had
double ponytail.
What did she die of? We can't remember.
Or in birth.
It was the saddest episode. We absolutely sobbed. Did she die in childbirth? But Des was left.
Did you just have nothing else on that you
Des were was desolate. No.
Des was desolate. Well, it was on twice a day.
Yeah, it was on.
So you could then just cry all over again.
Yeah. It was like the Archers, they did a repeat later.
Des was desolate. That's priceless.
Des was desolate. And Daphne's hair. And I remember I used to say to you, how would you like your hair? And you say, like Daphne.
She managed to get a lot of looks out of very short hair.
Oh God!
She was a good woman, Daphne. Yeah.
Was she a hairdresser?
I don't know.
She was an ex stripper. That was the scandal. Oh, the scandal.
And then she worked in the cafe. No, the diner.
She started the cafe. It was so scandalous.
That was this cafe
from her stripper money.
I don't know. Presumably, if that
but
was
Guy
part of
Guy
her
Pearce was your best friend.
He was one of the gang. Yeah, and yeah. I worked with him. 3 years ago, we played husband and wife in this Australian comedy film that's set in the 70s. So, I mean, he looks really good with the tash and the lamb chops and all of that. Yeah. I've had such a great time.
Oh, good. Thank you. Will this seal the deal when I tell you, I forgot to tell you that we had a guinea pig called Kylie and a guinea pig called Jason as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Kylie Fruity, and Jason.
Kylie and Jason.
I've had to step away. I don't want to make it out. I thought I'd heard it all. I've now heard it all.
We're going to now break your kneecaps and you're going to lie upstairs and you're going to teach us the spinning around dance. You're never going anywhere. We are Kathy Bates. Thank you. Yeah.
That was amazing having Kylie over. Rest assured, we did let the pop princess leave. I didn't break her kneecaps or her ankles. She is not still in my mother's bedroom writing new lyrics for Hand on Your Heart. Don't worry. So to end this episode of Extra Helpings is the gorgeous Lydia West. We fell in love with Lydia when watching the brilliant It's a Sin earlier this year. If you haven't seen it, you must watch it. It's Russell T Davies. Incredible series about the AIDS pandemic, and it stars another Table Manners alumni, the lovely Ollie Alexander, who played Richie, and Lydia played Richie's best friend Jill. Here she is telling us what her Last Supper would consist of.
So my starter would have to be, so I'm obsessed with buffalo wings, like obsessed. Uh-huh. And anywhere I go I have to kind of try the buffalo wings, and the best place where I found buffalo wings is this amazing restaurant in, well, it's not amazing, but it's a good, right? It's a nice,
it's good for wings.
It's good for wings. It's called Chick and Sours, and it's in Haggerston.
Oh, Chick and Sours.
Yeah. And
I haven't tried their wings.
Oh, they're buffalo wings. I used to live in Dalston, and I'd have their takeaway every Friday night, but I've moved recently, but my flatmate still lives there, and I go to her house to have the takeaway. She's like, okay, are you coming to see me or are you coming for chicken sours? And so I'd have hot buffalo wings with like a blue cheese dip.
I love that.
Yeah,
no one's ever chosen that.
No one.
And I understand, it's like
it's just so good in that, like, that kind of vinegary, salty, just goodness. So that would be my starter. My main would be, I think I'd have to go for, I know everyone says a roast dinner, but it's just so good. Like a lamb roast or a lamb shank even.
And what is so special about, is it your mum's roast dinner that you're choosing, or is it
my granny's roast dinner?
Oh, your granny's. Okay, yeah. So what would she do that was so special?
I think just the potatoes and goose fat, and like Irish potatoes and goose fat, and red cabbage with currants in them too. I don't know how she, but they're also quite salty, and I don't know what she does to make it so, like, it's almost like a vinaigrette kind of in them, which is really nice. What else does she have in her roast? Cauliflower cheese, triple cheese.
Yeah, I love that.
And then just a lamb with homemade mint sauce.
Oh, wow. She was a good cook then.
She's a really good cook. She is.
And she's still alive?
She is still alive,
That's amazing.
Yeah. She's young, Jessie.
Yeah, you're young. Sorry.
Granny's still here. She still bakes for us. Nice. And yeah. But my granny's the kind of person who, like, no food can compare to hers. Like, if I say, like, oh, I cooked a meal, she has no interest in, like, in anything but her own cooking, because she just doesn't trust that we could ever make anything that we'd enjoy.
She's all so funny.
So even I make like a banana bread, and I don't really bake, but in lockdown I became a banana bread breaker, and I was like, granny, I'll make you a banana bread and I'll bring it to your house. And she's like, no, I don't like that. And I was like, oh, quick, granny. Granny, you haven't tried my banana bread. She's like, I don't like banana bread at all. Okay, fine.
So what's her bake that she does that's like is it the brack?
No, it's brack. The brack's not my favourite. It would have to be the pineapple upside down cake.
Ooh.
I've never tried making that.
No,
actually.
I might have a go.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Do you think tinned pineapple better than
fresh? She
uses
tinned pineapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, she uses it, and it's so, I think, because it's so sweet and juicy.
And what do you have it with, custard or ice cream?
Custard.
I'm going to make it this weekend.
Can you make it gluten-free, Mum?
No.
Okay. Okay, so we've got Granny's roast.
And are you drinking Guinness with all of Granny's roast?
No, I don't like Guinness. I'm not a massive drinker. Tell you what I'm obsessed with at the moment. Sparkling Moscato. I'm obsessed with sparkling rosé or rosé champagne.
Do you
like alcohol free rosé?
Love it.
Right, so Marks and Spencer's do a really good one called Frisera.
I've tried it.
It's better than their white one. It's in the fridge.
What was that shite you got me then? That bloody Cabernet Sauvignon fake. I mean, it was disgusting alcohol free.
No, but I've got an alcohol free rosé Frisera there. You can take it home if you want.
It's lovely.
Is it?
Yeah, it's lovely. And that's why I think I like the sparkling Moscato at the moment, because it's literally just sugar I love it. It's so sparkly and just bubbly.
Well, which leads us on to your pudding. So I don't know. But she may have not chosen her granny's upside down cake for her last meal.
For my last meal ever, I really enjoy cookie dough, like warm cookie dough when it's not yet formed the cookie. So it's like stodgy and just like gooey. And then with a scoop of ice cream, maybe like butterscotch ice cream.
So you're making like your own cookie kind of dough?
I'm not making my own. I'm ordering it from Pizza Hut.
How do you do that?
So Pizza Hut have this warm cookie dough.
You're filthy, Lydia. I love this.
It's filthy. It's so filthy.
But you can order warm cookie dough, which you intend to make cookies with, but you don't make the cookies with, or is it just a thing?
No, so they half bake it. So it's almost like the cookie is finished, but then they take it out of the oven 10 minutes early.
Are you supposed to finish it off when you get it home?
No, you're supposed to eat it as the dough, as the warm dough.
I don't know anyone who still orders Pizza Hut, but I feel like you're the person that's keeping them alive, Lydia.
And you have to order two. And I don't actually like their pizza. I prefer Domino's. If I'm having like bad pizza, I'd rather have Domino's. But the cookie dough, you have to order two to get it above, I think, £9 or whatever.
Oh my God, literally just order Pizza Hut cookie dough to get it.
So for dessert.
This is a great bit of intel. It was an absolute treat to have the darling Lydia on podcast, who not only was she lovely, but she shared that gem of knowledge about ordering cookie dough from Pizza Hut, which actually I've now seen on Deliveroo. It's a whole thing, which I still need to order. And also she was very good with her lighting too. She taught us a few things, tricks about a good light on Zoom. That is it for this episode of Second Helpings. So hard to choose, as we've had so many amazing guests over the last year. But thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back next week with some more extra helpings.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.